You know, we so frequently use the word Bible in a generic sense. There are a lot of Bibles out there, just a plethora of them. Really, I should use the term translations of the Bible, but you know what I mean. According to my to-go source for religious materials, Wikipedia, there are about 150, give or take, numbers of different translations of the Bible that have appeared on the scene since King James commissioned the King James Bible back in 1611. There's a lot more that have come and gone and really didn't even make it to this list. I would add, like the Reader's Digest version, which was a cut-down version of the King James in volume. Well, anyway, in this congregation, I think if we took a poll, we could find quite a number of different Bibles translations in use. King James Version, the New King James Version, the American Standard, Amplified Version, Robert uses the Amplified Version. We might even find somebody that uses the English Standard Version. All have their pluses and minuses. During my time as a Bible student, I guess Nelda would say I'm a serious Bible student because of the time I put in on it, but nonetheless, I've attended a number of lengthy discussions concerning the Gospels and the letters, particularly, and quite a variety of things. Well, in some of these classes, sessions, one thing I learned that kind of astounded me, and it was particularly that the students in some of the classes took the Bible and were really pretty serious about it, which version would be used. When I first joined one session, I pulled out my trusty King James, New King James, and I was astounded at the response. It was people, and it was as if I'd tried to smuggle some contraband into the session or something. I think they grew used to it after I did it too many times and everything went okay. I'm hardly settled on my list of best Bibles, although I would tell you that the King James, the New King James, and the American Standard probably run within the top five or six in sales in worldwide, particularly in the United States, year by year by year. King James has been on the bestseller list for a generation. But that's King James, New King James is my preference because it's easy to read. I've heard a bunch of lectures, I've read a bunch of pamphlets and such on the topic of different versions and their relative merits back and forth. And while I'm not a scholar of Greek, and you know that I'm certainly one of the good old boys from Tennessee, so that hardly makes it. But having read quite a bit and studied a reasonable amount, I think I've formed into at least a semi-educated student on the subject. Okay. As well as reading the Bible through in the parallel versions several years worth, I've made a discovery. And that discovery is not the best Bible, but the worst Bible. And actually, the definitive list of worst Bibles that I want to share with you tonight, there's three. That's pretty easy. One, two, three. And these are Bibles that will absolutely cripple a person, Christian or non-Christian. And cripple, I mean, in a spiritual sense. Especially when we, as Christians, all take the tack that we want to end up one day hearing Jesus say to us, well done, good and faithful servant. If we have anything that will preclude us from that, shame on us. We need to change what we're doing. And these Bibles, the worst Bibles, probably will cause us a hard time in muddling through our daily affairs day by day by day. Some of my choices in the worst Bibles might even surprise you. Well, number one on my list of worst Bibles, and I'm going to do the best of the worst going down, is the Bible you don't read. Surprise. I know you thought I was going to list a specific version, but it's the one you don't read. I don't care what it is, whether it's a King James, you know, you can go through the whole laundry list of Bibles. The one you don't read that you might otherwise gain from God's word presented to man is the worst one in your case. I'm not talking about great-grandma's Bible that's up on the shelf collecting dust. It's been up there since, you know, who knows when. I'm talking about the Bible, and this is the wrong group to address it to, probably, but the Bible that you can't find when it comes Sunday morning. It's someplace collecting dust, someplace in the house, but you sure haven't looked for it since the previous time you used it, which is maybe even last Sunday or something like that. And suddenly it's time to go to worship and you can't find it. That's not a very good indicator. It means nobody's used it in a week, or maybe multiple weeks by that matter. I wonder how many pains we bring on ourselves because we don't refer to the Bible, at least frequently, if not daily. Psalm 119, verse 105 tells us that your word is the lamp to my feet and a light to my path. How many times do we stumble because we don't get the lamp out, before we don't turn up the light, before we make a decision? If you look back in the kings of Israel, and so many times they made bad decisions because they never referred to God. They never prayed to God about the matter. And us today, how many times do we make bad decisions because we don't search the Bible to find a good answer to our problems? Ephesians 3, verses 3 and 4 tells us the Bible can be understood, and that's true, understood by most people. Hebrews 1 tells us that Christ speaks to us through the Word, through the Scriptures. Obvious conclusion is if one wants to hear the Word, what the Master says to us even today, they pick up the Bible. They need to read the Word. And I guess the opposite is true too. If someone doesn't want to hear what Christ would say to us, they leave the Bible back up on the shelf collecting dust. Here's a commercial message for you. You probably, many of you know it, all of you have the opportunity. If you find the announcement sheet that the congregation uses, on the back side is a reading list. And that reading list would allow someone in easy 5-minute increments to read the New Testament in a year, 5 days a week, 5 minutes a day, and voila, the New Testament is read. And I think all of us could gain for a daily Bible study in that manner, just 5 minutes a day. Number two on my list of worst Bibles is the Bible you don't know. Okay, not only is it important to read the Bible, but it's kind of important to know a little bit about the Bible itself. Knowing God's word rather in familiarity would remind you of the ethical behavior that we should have. Nelda tells a story about when she was in school, the teacher would ask everybody to recite a verse of the Bible. And she tells me, I'm going to take it at face value, that there were several boys in the class, their choice verse was Jesus wept. Well, if that's all you ever read, perhaps you're not reading enough. You don't know the Bible. You may get a grade for the class, but you're not going to know the Bible. The knowledge of the Bible would teach you what it is, the Book of Life for Christian, and God directs us to do this. In Psalm 119, verse 11, I've stored up my word in my heart that I might not sin against you. David had it right. If we know the word, we know how to not sin against God, and perhaps it'll constrain us not to sin against God. 2 Timothy 3:16 tells us all scripture is breathed out by God, profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and training in righteousness. Not to be outdone, of course, we know 2 Timothy 2:15 that admonishes us to study, to show ourselves approved. A worker doesn't need to be ashamed who handles correctly the Word of God. If you don't know the book, reading the Bible may be like picking up the dictionary and making sense out of it. There are a lot of words there, but they really don't make much sense as far as the story goes. Surely the Bible may not be much of a guide for life if you can't relate between, for instance, the Old Testament and the New Testament. And worse, if you try to mix the two together and decide folks living in the New Testament age, the last days, must live by the Old Testament as well. It's going to be a tough read. Also difficult to make a spiritual and scriptural discussion if you really don't have an idea of context, if you don't think about similes and metaphors, and you come on a scripture like Jesus saying, "I am the door." Well, obviously he wasn't a physical door, but so perhaps a little bit of knowledge about what we're reading about makes a big difference. The Bible you don't know. The Galatian letter, Paul talked about the brethren, and one of the problems there was a perversion of the Bible. You might be familiar with this and might think about it in terms of the uneasy feeling you get when someone is trying to explain their theology and you know they've never read the Bible because their theology is wrong by the points they're trying to use to make their argument. Sometimes you can even hear it and you're amazed and think it's humorous, but unfortunately it's a deadly fact. Well, we move on. Since we've been through the worst Bible one, that you don't know where it is and you don't read it, and the second one, the Bible you don't know, I'd come to the third Bible that is probably the death knell of many people. It's Bible number 3, the Bible you don't obey. Even if you don't know it, even if you don't not read it, if you don't obey it, where does that leave you? And this probably is not the group to address such a comment about, because you're the Bible reading folks. Perhaps one the Bible may understand, but you go on in life as if you've never read the words before. We have many people in our society today that will do that. And we would talk about them and say, they have no moral compass. They're drifting aimlessly. And I'm afraid we see this too often. Too often we hear the comment, and it's someone who's trying to make a Bible point. He says, "I'm okay. My preacher says so-and-so does not apply to me, or my elder," or whatever the term may be. And oftentimes we hear this and it causes our heart to sink because someone is way out in left field spiritually. My preacher says that doesn't apply to me or to us today, and there it is. There's a bunch of similar turndowns, many, many, that get used so easily And people just make them as if obviously that's the truth. Obviously, to some of us, it's not the truth. May not be in Scripture, like, well, one term that gets used very frequently today is the rapture. And hear about this, and the war to end all wars, it's about to happen in the Middle East. Well, if you read the Bible, you'd know that this isn't what's under discussion. And the rapture doesn't even show up as a feature of print. But nonetheless, there's a lot of people that spend a lot of time and money and effort on this particular thing. Or maybe it's just convenience. My preacher says, my elder says, whatever. And that's supposed to make it all right. Not so. Jesus said something that was kind of shocking in John 14, verse 15. He said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. He said, my commandments aren't grievous. In this statement, Jesus ties our obedience to love for the Savior. And after all, as Christians, isn't that what we're in this business for? Yes, love of the Savior. We have to ask a serious question here, or maybe it's pointed questions. Does the individual love Jesus? And that includes us. We look in the mirror in the morning to shave, to wash our face, to put on makeup. And maybe we should look in the mirror this morning, tomorrow morning, and say, do I love Jesus? And maybe we'll give ourselves a good answer as to what we have about this. Do you believe and profess that he's the Lord and Savior? Do you obey his word? Well, that's the bottom line to it. If one doesn't obey the word, there's hardly a reason to say, Jesus is my Lord and Savior. Things in Scripture were written for our instruction, for our good, both Old Testament and New Testament. They've been presented by God to man to teach us what to obey and, in many cases, how to obey. The Holy Spirit uses God's word that it might produce in us endurance and encouragement that we might have hope. Romans 15:4. Well, I've been through the burden of my message. Let's look at it on a personal basis. It's when the rubber meets the road time. Do we love Jesus? Do you have one of these three worst Bibles? Or perhaps you have all three of the worst Bibles. If you have one of the Bibles that places no requirements on you to become a Christian, maybe it's time to think about things, to look at the Bible itself, the Scripture, God's Word given to man, and decide, yes, I've got to obey this, especially if I pretend to wear the name Christian. If I wear the name Christ, as if it's across my forehead, I ought to believe the Bible and try to do what it says. Well, each one of us gets the opportunity many times a week, yes, every day, and especially on the Lord's Day, gets the opportunity to consider this in view of an everlasting eternity, in view of the possibility of eternal separation from Christ, from being barred from a heavenly home, placed in torment forever. If anyone has never accepted Christ as their personal Savior, they're headed into a dark oblivion at the end of their physical life. It's time for us to consider obedience to the gospel plan of salvation. And we all know this plan. It's clearly spelled out in the book. It may be a little bit of an opportunity for us to do some work, some thumb searching to find the passages, but it's all there. To hear the message, hear the gospel, to believe it, to repent of past sins, to confess Christ as the Lord and Savior, to be baptized for the remission of sins, to walk in newness of life. And then that's the hard part, perhaps, of all the things, that walking in newness of life. Then comes the time that we have these earth stains, the sins of commission and omission that so easily beset us, sometimes before we even recognize it. It's the opportunity that we have, and in James chapter 5, verse 15, James tells his listeners, his readers, that the prayers of a righteous man availeth much. We'll pray with you and for you that your sins may be forgiven, that you may once again establish that covenant relationship with God, with our Lord and Savior Jesus, through obedience to his commands. Well, whatever we can do for you this evening, even this evening, we'd be glad to take on that responsibility and activity in behalf of you, or any other time as well. But for the moment, would we take this opportunity, whatever we can do to help you, to respond to the invitation as we sing the song that's been announced.